Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. A new documentary from filmmaker Brett Story looks at the sweeping landscape of American prisons. The film does not, however, take you inside actual prison walls. Instead, we see the impact of incarceration spreading outward, infiltrating life on multiple levels. You can see Prison in 12 Landscapes on Independent Lens. That's on SDPB TV tonight at 9 Central, 8 Mountain Time. Brett Story is an award-winning nonfiction independent filmmaker based out of Toronto and New York. She joins us now from Canada to talk about her new film. Brett Story, welcome to In the Moment.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So I'm watching a screener of this film, and it's very interesting in the sense that in the beginning, I'm not going into a cell. I'm not looking at segregated units. I'm looking at something entirely different, which is, you know, what happens on the outside. Why? It's a poetic look for certain. Why else did you choose to sort of look at prison in this particular way?
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of reasons. One is just the basic fact that prisons are really hard to get inside, you know, and they're sort of deliberately so, and they've become increasingly difficult to get inside for journalists and filmmakers, the more that people are locked up inside them. So as prisons have grown, they've become harder to get access to. And I don't think that that's accidental. And that's certainly a challenge for filmmakers like myself. And instead of being thwarted by that challenge, I was interested in how to turn that into an opportunity, really to sort of suggest that we don't need to only look inside the prison cells and walls in order to understand or to think about the consequences of the prison system in our communities and our cities and our neighbors and our friends. And the film, by sort of gazing on these outside spaces, is really an attempt to invite people to think about the prison as a public institution that's very has a real relationship to and is very consequential to all these spaces on the outside that we take for granted.
Traveled the country talking with different people. How did you make some of the selections about where you were going to go and who you were going to try to meet?
Yeah, so I have to apologize. I'm doing this interview from an airport, so I hope the sound isn't too terrible. But yeah,
the life of an independent filmmaker, just jetting off to the next place, right? We'll deal with it. I love it.
Well, it's been really great, actually. The film has been on a bit of a tour to communities and to campuses across North America, so that's part of why I'm always I find in an airport. But yeah, the research component to this project, I mean, I've been working on issues of prisons for a very long time and have a relationship to on-the-ground activists and family members. And so there are a few sort of places and themes that I knew I wanted to hit. One is places where prisons are built. You know, prisons are increasingly built in rural, deindustrialized communities. I think 70% of all prisons are built in rural areas. And so it was important for me to have a scene that really kind of takes stock of what's going on in some of these places where there's so little hope for a future that people are harnessing their aspirations to a better life, for a better life, to the promise of a prison coming to their town. So one of the scenes in the film takes place in rural Appalachia in eastern Kentucky, where prisons are literally being built right on top of coal mines. And people have so little other possibilities for an economic future that they want to believe that prisons are going to help. And they don't often help, but they, you know, folks there at least think that prisons are going to become an economic boon for their community. So I knew that was a theme I wanted to hit, but some scenes came about almost accidentally. I mean, there's a scene early in the film that takes place in Washington Square Park with a group of chess players, and I just happened to be playing chess there one day and was chatting with the guy I was playing with, and he started telling me about how the rates were going down because so many guys in that park were coming out of the prison system and having such a difficult time finding formal employment that they play chess for money. And this is a park, of course, famous because it's where Bobby Fischer used to play, the famous chess player, used to play chess. And for me, it was just a real kind of interruption of that space that, you know, caused me to think, wow, this is a place I would never associate with the prison system. And here it is. Here I am now seeing the prison in this space. And I wanted to bring that kind of interruption to the viewers in the film.
And this gentleman who is playing chess for money, teaching chess, you can challenge him, you know, for a little cash exchange, teaching chess to children coming up right there in the park. He makes this sort of statement where he says, if you see a black man hustling in this park, they've been incarcerated. And
yeah.
sort of makes you, it's a jarring statement, kind of makes you think. So he's really talking about how these people can't find work. What is he saying with that statement?
Yeah, I mean, he's saying a few different things. One of the things that's really remarkable is that, you know, I think of people who are on the inside as almost throwaways. I mean, that's sort of what prison suggests, that there are certain people that are disposable and should be locked in jail and the key thrown away. And, you know, these are people who, like us, have incredible capacity, the capacity to become, for example, brilliant masters of a game like chess. But then, you know, they come out of the prison system and they're told, you know, that they're supposed to reform their life, and they face incredible obstacles. You know, it's very hard with felony status to find stable housing. It's incredibly difficult to find formal employment. And so you see this sort of almost contradiction between what people think the prison is for and the way in which incarceration actually undermines people's life chances when they get let out. And I think that that's something that we as a society really need to think about.
There's an all-female firefighting crew, and you talked to one of the prisoners who was doing that work, and it's another example of really being trained to do something valuable to society. Tell me a little bit about those firefighters, and then what their future is, you know, as firefighters on the outside.
Yeah, I mean, this is another example. I mean, most people are and would be shocked to learn that almost half of all of California's wildfires are fought by incarcerated people who are paid, $1.50 to $2 a day for fighting these fires. And again, ironically and tragically, are not actually accredited as firefighters when they get let out. So they perform this incredibly dangerous work, heroic work, work that takes incredible skill, and they're not even given a chance to put that skill to use when they're let out. And that includes women, and I think that that's an important thing that I wanted to include in this film, because I think we talk a lot about the men who are incarcerated, but women are the fastest growing population inside America's prisons. And we need to think about why that is and who the women are that are being incarcerated and what they're being incarcerated for. And the prison firefighters in California include these crews of all female firefighters who, you know, again, we can look at that as a situation where their work is being exploited. They're paid so little, and that's true. And then also, if you talk to any of these firefighters, they all want to go to the fire camps because they get to be outside and they get to feel like a hero, which they are.
What's the name of the woman who talks to you for this film? Can you tell me her first name?
I can't tell you, yeah.
She's not identified, and I was wondering why.
Yeah. Well, interviews were conducted anonymously, these were interviews that were conducted with people who are still incarcerated, and
sure.
Sensitive questions were asked about the conditions inside. And this is another thing about the dangers of these closed institutions that don't let journalists and filmmakers and scholars inside them, is that it creates a kind of culture of impunity for guards to retaliate against people on the inside. So it was very important. I also work as an academic researcher, and it was very important to be able to promise people anonymity when I was asking sensitive questions about the conditions on the inside.
She says, I think of myself as a hero. Is that part of just the how, you know, not only based on what she is doing and how the rest of the world might see her, but is there a transition mentally for her to say, my impression of myself has changed through this work?
Yeah, I mean, I find this so heartbreaking, because I think, you know, there's a way in which criminal status is one of the ways that we denigrate, you know, at this point, millions of people in our society. And you know, having the status of a criminal attached to you is a way in which you get demoted. You're not a full citizen. You can't vote. You can't find work or you can't find housing. And people look at you like you're less than human. And I think that, of course, people are going to internalize that. And I think that's really devastating. So we have to, I mean, it's also an invitation, I think, in this scene, it was important for me to invite the audience into thinking about, okay, why do we decide that people who fight fires are heroes, but people who, you know, have stolen diapers to help their, because they're so poor, that's the only way they can get diapers to support their families, are less than human. And here's a situation where someone is both a criminal or has been called a criminal and saves people's homes, saves people's pets, does this really heroic work. And I think we need to think about the way in which prisons really dehumanize people, and criminalization dehumanizes people.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking with filmmaker Brett Story, and Prisons in 12 Landscapes airs tonight on Independent Lens on SDPB-TV. That's at 9 Central, 8 Mountain. And Brett, I'm wondering, are there areas that lend themselves to reform very easily? Is this a transition back to society is the place where the reform needs to happen? There are other parts in the film where you really see how people end up incarcerated in the first place through poverty and fines. And, you know, what are your thoughts there based on your research and what you learned making this film as far as areas to begin with reform that are accessible places to start?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that I wanted to make a film that would also be empowering to us as a society in terms of trying to think of alternatives to the prison. And I think one of the really hard things about, for a lot of people when they're trying to think about alternatives is that they get stuck on this idea that people who are on the inside are dangerous and that prisons make us safe. And the suggestion of this film is, let's look at all these places on the outside, from urban neighborhoods, in municipal communities in St. Louis, where people are being fined over and over and over again for things like not having their trash can lids on correctly and then sent to jail when they can't pay those fines, to places like Appalachia where prisons are built only to offer people a hope for getting jobs and not for any other reason. Let's think about that as an opportunity to think about how the system as a whole could be reformed and how, I think this people at this point know that the United States is an outlier when it comes to the rest of the world. No other nation in the world incarcerates so many people. And that's never happened in the history of any other place as well. And so I think, I hope anyways that we think about that and think about, why is that necessary? Is it necessary? Actually, are there ways in which we could form healthy, safe, secure communities without locking people up? Because actually locking people up does a lot of harm without actually making people that much more safe and secure.
Now, when you talk about people going to jail for not having a trash can lid secured, that's not hyperbole. You actually found a woman where that happened to. I think maybe tell me a little bit of her story.
Sure. So in the film, we meet Sherry, who lives in a community just outside of St. Louis. And, you know, I think the community of Ferguson, of course, came into the national spotlight in the wake of the killing of Mike Brown and the protests in Ferguson. But Ferguson is actually one of just 90 different municipalities that are carved into the immediate suburban landscape of St. Louis. And all of these different communities, I mean, you could drive sort of 3 miles and probably drive through 9 different municipalities. They all have their own courts. They all have their own police. And their municipal revenue has plummeted so much over recent decades that these are communities that make up the bulk of their municipal budget, predominantly by sending police out to fine people. So if you're a person, a working class person, a person who works a minimum wage job in the area, you're driving down the stretch of highway, maybe with a taillight that's not working or some other sort of minor thing, you might get stopped by 8 different policemen and given 8 different fines in 8 different municipalities. And when you can't pay that money, you might be sent to jail. So there's an amazing group of lawyers in the area called Arch City Defenders who are actually suing these municipalities for running what they call, and I think quite rightly, debtors' prisons, modern-day debtors' prisons. I mean, people are being sent to jail for being poor and for not being able to find to pay these fines for tiny little infractions. And so, yeah, we met Sherry, and she, you know, the unfortunate thing is that I met so many people who told me very similar stories, but Sherry tells a pretty harrowing story about being fined $300 plus court fees for not putting her trash can lid on correctly. And she is so enraged by this. I mean, she works three different jobs for minimum wage and works all the time. She doesn't want her money to go for such a ridiculous thing that she decides not to pay it. And they put her in jail, and the conditions are so horrible that within 3 days she just gives up and says, okay, I'll pay it. I'll pay the bond because I can't survive in here. And it's devastating, and it's not all that rare, unfortunately.
Mm. And at that point, it becomes not so easy for her to just get out a credit card and escape. A compelling story, Prison in 12 Landscapes, Independent Lens, tonight, SDPB-TV, 9 Central, 8 Mountain Time. My guest has been Brett Story. She's the filmmaker who created the film. Lots of conversations to have after you watch that. Brett Story, thank you so much. Travel well on your airplane, wherever you're off to next.
Thank you so much.